You take a look at the notes again, and I'm just trying to introduce you to the idea of what we mean, what the scriptures mean when we talk about war in the heavenlies. Okay? I hope you understand what we're trying to do. This is a description of things that happen in the heavens. And we have no way in which we can actually, beyond its symbolic significance, comprehend how battles are fought in the heavenlies. Right? What is this battle between Michael and Satan? We have no idea. With what weapons do they fight? We have no idea. Right? I hope you understand this. But there is a war. This much we know. Problem is, we have no idea how this war is actually waged. Do they get injured? What happens? Where is the injury? We don't know. I just want to help you to understand that there are battles which are occurring up there in the heavenlies, which we have no idea of. But we want to ask ourselves also, what is our takeaway? You can take away and say, this is what it means here, historically. And we would have missed the point. Because if it's a symbol in the heavenlies, it goes beyond historical facts, obviously. Because it's in the heavenlies. I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. Okay? Please stop me when you want to raise any question. Because we are now looking at a situation. There's several things we want to take away from. And that is, from this, the study of this. First, we catch a glimpse of what power, what evil there is in Satan and his demonic hordes. But at the same time, we mustn't think that we are defenseless, because we're not. There are angels battling for us, for the souls of mankind. This much we must know. Okay? Just because we do not have a description of Michael does not mean he is weaker. Okay, there are 2/3 who have not bowed the knee to Satan. This much we must know too. Can God bring to bear the things that can help us? The events that can help us? Yes. Okay, the earth is at God's command to help us. His angels are His command to help us. The point is, the evil one cannot and will not prevail. God will. You must take away with the right lessons. Otherwise, we'll go away thinking wrong ideas, wrong concepts, weak concepts, and we go away stunned by his power, and then stunned by the evil that he is able to perpetrate, and we are on the losing end already. What about us? What is our takeaway? That we will continue to love the Lord and His Word and be prepared for battle. This must be our takeaway. We must not be afraid. What evil can he think up against us? Well, you must know, it's anything and everything. Okay? Will he rage against even the Son of God? Yes. But he will be defeated. Over here, he's caught up in heaven. As if he's defenseless. He's not. He defeated the evil one on this earth. This is, as I said, it's a symbolic picture. It doesn't tell you the details. So don't press the point here. Because if you do, you misunderstand and misapply Revelation completely. Okay? So you really want to be sure that you handle Revelation properly. And this is why we say this gives us a glimpse of a spiritual battle in the heavenlies. Now we take on another battle on this earth. From here onwards, we're going to look at battle scenes, one after the other, so that we can learn the right lessons. But if we read Genesis 3 and limit it to historical data, then we're wasting our time. Okay, it happened, so what? Let's move on. It's not. There are lessons to be learned here. Which lessons? For example, he's called serpents of old, Revelation 12. Why is he called serpent of old? Because he was there. Revelation 12 still applies. He's still called serpent of old. He hasn't changed at all his skin. When a snake changes its skin, it's still snake. It's just snake skin. Right? He's still there. I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. Poor Jacob described his sons as a serpent. Oh boy. Then is a viper, a snake. How can you say that? But he did. Unfortunately, he could not see beyond. Okay? Moses changed the imagery. He's a lion, not a viper. So you've got to watch very, very carefully the imagery being used. Okay? And because if you can see this, it will help us a great, great deal. There's deception here that we're talking about here. Now let's take a look at Genesis 3 now, describing the serpent of old. And I hope that you will understand these lessons because they are very, very, very true today. And of course, we must ask, where's the man? Unfortunately, doesn't come off very favorably sometimes. Okay, here we go. We read that he is a deceiver who deceives the whole world, Revelation 12. Now, we're going to turn to Genesis and we're going to see how he was called the serpent of old. Okay? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. In Egyptology, when you see the Pharaoh wearing his diadem, his crown, there you have two snakes. Okay? And you have doctors who also have snake wrapped around. The reason is because in the Egyptian symbol, the snake is the highest of all the creatures. Not the lion. Not the eagle. The snake. Inside the snake, the symbol of the snake is a symbol of cunning, of knowledge, of wisdom. See, if they want to seek any wisdom, it would be the snake. So it was not without meaning when God said to Moses, throw your rod down, and lo and behold, it became a serpent. Okay? So you mustn't think that, oh, I have a natural aversion to snake. Some of us do. But you mustn't think, this one is Satan. You mustn't think that way. Okay, snakes are still God's creatures, no matter how you look at them. Okay? So if you speak Slytherin, okay, so you just want to be very careful. Suddenly, you understand snake language. Well, just be careful how much you read into those books. Okay, so we have this idea of the serpent here, and he was more cunning, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" Okay, this is where we are going to be greatly challenged to understand here. Now, I'm going to make certain remarks. Now, it may seem unfavorable to women. Okay, I am not a misogynist in any way. Okay, so it's not that I hate women. It's just that it just happens to be. Okay, no, I am not saying that the man is any way better, as you will see later on. You just got to bear with me for a while until I come to the part of the man. Okay, I mean, that's part of it here. Now, well, let's read very carefully in chapter 2 first before we go to chapter 3. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. That's the first anesthetic operation going on. Deep sleep. He took out one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in his place. That's first surgery done. Okay? And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam instantly said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha," because he was called Ish. Okay, so he was called, that's what it means, just the feminine form of man, as it were, because she was taken out of man. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Okay, so now they are one. Okay, so two become one, and we now have a very interesting statement here. Okay, in chapter 2, earlier part, we read in verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This was given to man. Okay? Now it is interesting because the serpent did not attack the man. He came to talk to the woman instead. And you know how women think. Maybe we don't. The aga aga. Okay? And sort of a general idea. This is what God said. Well, she should have memorized what Adam said to her. You know, women seldom pay attention to what husbands say anyway. So if the man wants to say something to the wife, he must ask someone good, a good friend, to tell the wife something. Because otherwise she wouldn't listen. So here came Satan and said, the serpent said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You know, if you were an enemy, you don't want to pick the person who just had a word from God, who Adam would have memorized this word and would have answered verbatim. This is what God said. He picks the woman and says, and raised the question generally, "Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You see, this is what God exactly said. Every tree you may eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. So he raises, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You see, he twisted it already. Okay? So many trees. He picked out one tree, "Has God said, cannot eat every tree?" Why? You know, it's, again here, when they go, men, women go shopping, the same thing. The men go shopping, that one item he wants to buy, he buys it, he goes home. The woman goes out there, wants to look for one thing, but must look for 100 different things, finally buy that one thing, and then go home. One takes 5 minutes, one takes 5 hours. And that has never changed from then until now. That's how it has always seemed to be, unfortunately. So there was a question, and then she replied, "We may eat the fruits of the trees of the garden." That's nice. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." When women tell a story, they like to embellish. You must always add 2 cents more worth. Why? And Satan knows it. Serpent is cunning. He observes these two talking. You know, watch very carefully. See. This one always likes to add something on. This one, see, he knows which one is weak, which one is strong. And he always attacks the one that is weak because the two are one. So why attack the strong? Attack the weak. The weaker. Not the weak. Let's put it very nicely. Okay? It's very subtle. What's a subtlety? Okay? And a subtlety is very, very deadly. So he chooses his target. Eve. Rather than Adam. You see, the same in Revelation 12. Attacks the woman, not the man. That's how he works. That's how cunning he is. He chooses the time and place. Why is it time and place? Because Adam is not around. Catch her alone. Maybe, hey, why you ask that question? No. Ask the woman. You see, I don't know how much she listened to Adam, which I don't think is very much, which is quite typical. Right? So he asked her a question. And she comes up with an answer. Not necessarily the answer that God would have wanted, but an answer anyway, an answer of sorts. And she thinks it's okay. And so there it is. What did the serpent actually say? So he raises very innocent sounding questions. There he goes. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." What's this death? How do you know what death is? You ever die or not? The mbaksi. You don't know what death is. Hey, that's the idea. You don't know what death is. When you talk about death, you won't die. Who says you will die? You die, you eat, die tomorrow, is it? You die straight away, is it? You talk to Satan, he will spin you, he will talk circles around you. Don't talk to strangers or snakes. Why? There he is. He spins a story. You will not die. In fact, not only will you not die, God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Wow. You know, your eyes will be open. You will see. What will you see? Eyes more open. What would you see? And you will not only have your eyes open, you will be like God. Wow. Guess where it's there from? It's from himself. You shall be like God. When you really, really know good and evil. What you have is primary stuff, kindergarten stuff, nothing. You want to be like God, then he really knows the stuff, university stuff and beyond, PhD stuff. Really know. You only know a little bit. Okay? And so, there we go. Doubts are now there. And then suddenly the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Wow, looks very good. smells very good. Whatever it is. Now, we don't know what it is, by the way. Okay? But I may tell you that in a Jewish legend, it could be almost anything. One suggestion was this was a fig. Don't know. Because some people think it's durian. Okay? Some people say apple. We're stuck with the apple ever since. Okay? And then suddenly it was a desirable tree to make one wise. Then she took off the fruit, ate it. There we go. Ate it. And that's where all the trouble started. Okay? Now this is an interesting thing that we need to look at very, very carefully. Now 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you'll see this this indictment. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 14. Adam was not deceived. Okay, we read, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. See, the problem of deception was there. Where was the man? If he was not deceived, how come he fell too? His was not being deceived. His was deliberate. Because the wife said so. What? You don't want to share with me? You know those emotional blackmail stuff? What? You don't want to eat? My food no good for you. I specially prepared this for you, no. Here, share this with me. Here, take a bite. Just a bite. And there he is defenseless. Dodo. There we go. Okay, eat it. And that's it. And he fell. Was he? He knew. He knew. He ate. So it is. It has always been. Man knows. But he does it anyway. Stupidly so. Because the girlfriend or the wife said so. Okay. And then the consequences come. Has it changed? Tell me it's changed. I don't think so. I don't think anything's a change. The deception is still there. The cunningness is still there. The woman continues to be deceived. And a man continues to pay the price. I like that bag, you know. Gone case. That's it. That's it. Oh, I really? Oh, thank you so much. And that's it, gone. You didn't buy for me. I'm very sad today. I don't feel like cooking. Sigh. Okay, let's go tomorrow. Let's buy. Are you happy now? Such has been the case all these times. Millennia may have passed. It is still the same old story. Here's my reply. Such is wisdom. Such is wisdom. Cannot listen only to God. This is so important. Right? You say no to her, she's stronger. She's wiser. She knows who is the head. To give in is to lose your head. And falling, it will fall into transgression. That's how it must be. Sorry, that's how we practice in our family. She does not lead. She is forbidden. 1 Timothy says, right? Very, very, she is to learn in silence. Well, most of the time, no. But there must be that. You cannot lose that leadership. You cannot lose that role. No matter what. I hope you understand this. It's learning from this that you understand where the man's role is. You know what is right. You know what is the Word of God. And you stick to it. Doesn't matter if there is a cold war. Doesn't matter if she sighs and so and so forth. It doesn't matter. I know it is not easy. But man, that's what we are meant to be. Not Adam. Okay? This is very important for us to understand it. Otherwise, we really would be missing the point. All right. Over to you for questions on this matter here, this subject. I hope you understand how serious this is. Because behind it all, you must see the evil one. He's going to be invisible. Okay? He's not going to be there. All he needs to do is to plunge the thought into the mind. To plunge the desire in the heart. To create a tension. To create the problem, and he leaves. You cannot blame Satan. I think it's very important. Of course, there's a very famous story told about this woman who likes to buy fur coats. In the days when the fur coats were still fashionable. And he keeps on telling her, you cannot buy, you got so many fur coats. You don't need another one. And next time when you attempted to buy another fur coat, say, Satan, get behind me. Good advice. But being a woman, she came back with another fur coat. Husband was upset. Why did you buy? I told you, say, get behind me. I did, she said. Satan got behind me. And he said, you look very nice from behind. And so she bought it. And sadly, this has always been the case, unfortunately. Okay, now I just hope you understand. I'm not talking about a man and a woman. I'm talking whoever is the weaker party. It could be the man for that matter. Okay, it could be the man. The point is, if one falls, the other falls. If one falls, both fall, the family is affected. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm concerned about. It's the whole family fabric. It doesn't matter whether it is a woman or man. The point is, the family will be hurt. It doesn't matter who is the weaker. Okay? And this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. How will he attack? This is a spiritual family, right? Both of them know God. Both of them, in their own way, probably love God. And yet, even between the two of them, there is one weaker. Always there is one weaker. You can never be strong in every respect. There will always be one weaker. And whoever is the weaker of the two, at that particular place, a particular time, and a particular set of circumstances, the attack will come through the weaker one. His goal is ultimately to destroy the family any way he can. It doesn't matter who is the stronger. The attack will always be on the weaker. At the end of it all, the consequences are terrible. So you know the scriptures? Oh, you know about God? Let's talk about God. Did God really say it? Question. And a lot of times, the women folk don't very, very much bother about the scriptures. therein is the weakness. Or it could be the men, as I said, you know, it could be whichever. It doesn't matter if Satan uses God's name. Doesn't matter if he quotes God's word. Okay? Because he can and he will. And he will raise his questions. And if you do not know your faith, you do not know the word, you do not know and you don't understand, there you will be at the mercy of the evil one. He will strike and leave. He's not there. All he needs to do is to raise questions, raise doubts, and it's gone. Many years ago, I had a ministry in Sarawak, Kuching. So my friend Douglas Sadler, I still remember him, dear friend. He was an accountant who became a missionary. Wife was a nursing sister. Gave up her job, and then both of them became missionaries. They had three children. They're lovely children. Boy Stephen was very close to me. Girl number two was called Ruth, and the third one was called Elizabeth. They call her Abby. Beautiful little girl, small ones. And so I helped them to develop the ministry. I was doing evangelism a lot in those years. So they wanted to grow a church. The church was 40 strong. And he asked me, could I help him? I said, sure. I would be very happy to, my joy, to bring the gospel to people. So for 2 or 3 years, I worked with him, and the church managed to grow quite significantly. It went from 40 to 120 to 200 to 250, it became very strong. They were not branching to other places. I was happy for him. Then one day he wrote to me and he said, "Dear Charles, I write this letter with sad heart. My wife is leaning on the charismatic side. And I know that you're not in favor of this. My wife does not want you to come anymore to do evangelism, because that's not a focus. The focus is power, it's about prayer, it's about signs, it's about gifts, which you don't emphasize much. So, I wrote to him and I said, I understand where you're coming from. I know I'm there only by invitation. But I must warn you that the dangers will be there, very obviously. And so I didn't go on the third, fourth year. But next time I heard about it, the church had split. There were all kinds of practices and beliefs. The local person wanted to be the head, not a missionary. In 2 years, his work as a missionary came to a standstill. He was sent home to England with a wife and children. That ministry completely ended. Why? He said, I understand, you're my good friend, I honor you. But I have to live with my wife. And I can't stop her from being upset if I don't allow this. And so it was gone. That ministry was gone because of a wife. Sadly. After that, I've lost touch with him. I've lost touch with him. I would think that he's probably gone home to be with the Lord, because it's been 40 years since. Never left my mind. If the wife's theology is wrong or wonky, it can lead you into all kinds of problems. In recent events, we know of people who want to do song and dance fame. And it can lead the church into serious trouble. as well. I think we all know these stories only too well. Why can't the man just simply say no? She takes it upon herself to say yes. That's how it is. And so the fights begin. And these fights have never ceased. Look at the consequences. Remember, the work, the attack of the evil one is never for the moment. Look at the consequences. Look at the consequences of deception, of lack of discernment, of lack of lack of all these things, and you will see the consequences. Look at this very carefully. And so, Adam was held responsible. That's why he was called up first. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" This is not a hide and seek game. It is to hold Adam accountability. He is the head. No point blaming anybody. You are the head, you are responsible. Like it or not, you are responsible. So therefore God went to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you?" There's a command there that you should not eat. Then the man said, the woman, see, blame game starts. "The woman whom you gave me to be with me." I didn't ask for her, you know. You gave. When you gave, your fault, because I didn't ask for her. I was happy by myself. If I had been by myself, it wouldn't have happened. But a woman you gave to me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree I ate. Simple as that. I didn't ask, you gave, she gave, I took. Where's the man? And unfortunately, a lot of men go that way too. Okay? And the Lord God said to the woman, okay, next round. "What is this you have done?" Oh, same game. I can't blame Adam. I can blame the serpent. You see, it was the serpent. You see, it was all the serpent's fault. The serpent deceived me and I ate. No responsibility. The woman asked me to eat, I ate. You, what? No brains. Well, the serpent deceived me, I ate. It's all about food. And there we go. And so the Lord God said to the serpent, "Okay, serpent." No one to blame. You see, the serpent is brazen. He can't be bothered. He doesn't need anybody to blame on anybody. He'll take it. Look at this. And he said, what the Lord said, "Because you have done this, you are cursed. More cursed than all the cattle. Than all cattle. More than every beast of the field. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Consequences. And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you." And so the battle as to who rules the roost, who rules the home, began then and has not stopped. Who rules? Now I am not talking about quiet submission, and then he knocks you on the head and you say it's okay, but you haven't knocked the other side. I'm not talking about that kind of nonsense. This is not what it is. But the enmity will be there from here onwards. And to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife." Now this is 1 Timothy. She is a heeding of the wife. not the deception part. And you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Okay, so every day you want to leave home, you might want to write a little note. See Genesis 3, 17 to 19. Look at this. Look at how it is. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat a herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, to dust you shall return. The consequences are terrible. And there is no mistaking those consequences. Okay? What do we do with the woman? What do you do without her? Same problem. What do you do with the man? With or without? It's the same problem. It's not going to change. And the battle goes on. Okay? And I hope you will understand this. So if we look at some of these things, you have to be very, very careful. Everything is affected. The individual, the family, and posterity. The children will be affected too. Okay? How you look at the parents, you will have a glimpse of the child. That's how scary it gets. So you want to be very, very, very careful. You've got to work very hard against all these things in order to get out of it. Okay? It is going to be this. It's going to be this kind of work that will take, because the ground is cursed. So if the person does not want to sweat, the person is going to just take it easy. And we're going to be in serious trouble. It's going to get worse. All right, questions you want to raise up? I hope you wanted to understand this lesson, because we're going to learn to draw lessons from it. The story is historical. The meaning is not. The meaning is significant even till today. The same thing applies. A word to all the women folk. Please, if you've done something wrong, don't inveigle the man, because he's stupid enough to listen to you. Okay? So if you have a man who says no to you, good. That is a wise man. I mean, this is something, I mean, let's face it. We have to know what is at stake. What is at stake is not winning the hour, winning the moment. What is at stake are the consequences. And the consequences are grave. And they are terrible. So we either wake up to this reality, or we are going to see great suffering in time to come. Alright, please raise questions before we take up this whole idea of the consequences, or things we want to consider. Okay. Now here's my response to all these things. And I think that we really want to ask ourselves, if you are married, or in your circle of friends, okay, please know your own weaknesses. Okay? Please know your weaknesses. Because a lot of people don't even know their weaknesses. So here's the man. And his weakness is whatever the girlfriend or the wife says, he gives in. He calls that love. I call that weakness. Giving in is not wise. It is not love. How can it be love when it hurts the family so badly? What kind of love is that? Pursue wisdom. Weakness is no virtue at any point of time. Okay? This is important for us. Unfortunately, there are a lot of men who will just fall because of this. Now, it does not mean that strength needs to be brutal. Now, this is not what we mean. Okay? You've got to watch very carefully the opposites. Because it will backfire one way or the other. Okay, then I don't listen to it. I never listen to the wife. That's not the point either. Because if we think of that as the point, then we were missing it. They're meant to be one. Only problem is that they're not one. Where there is weakness, the strength of the person who is better off is meant to cover the weakness. Why couldn't Eve have said, "Let me talk to Adam. Let me consult"? Not a word of consultation. She makes a decision first. What? You are the theologian? You are the person? Nothing doing. Obviously. When you want to do God's work, when you want to interpret the scriptures, when you want to serve the Lord, there's only one person you listen to, and that's the Lord. There's just no other way. And a lot of people have conceded and conceded wrongly. It happens all the time. Please, I urge you, know yourself. Know your partner. Know what a person is like. Help the person. Okay? You've got to be able to be. This is so important. Sometimes we lose a battle. Okay? And this is the case here, the battle is already lost. But the challenge is to learn the lessons that must be learned. There's no other way. Okay? That one mistake must be made just once. Because if you don't, then you're going to repeat again and again the same thing. And that is the height of foolishness. Learn the lessons well. You now have to live with the consequences. You now have to live with whatever aftermath. You have to. There's no point, I should have. No point. No point quarreling. No point being angry. No point fighting with each other. It will just make things worse. The question is, can we learn from here, please? What have you learned? What are you going to learn? And so the battle between the sexes began. Unfortunately. Okay? Now, watch this very carefully. Look at the consequences. I will greatly multiply your sorrow, your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. And that is going to be a problem. It's within these words are many, many painful lessons to be learned. And this battle is never going to stop, unfortunately. It will be a battle as to who is going to rule in the family. Who rules in your family? The wife or the husband? Believe me, very often the woman continues to rule. The man abdicates. He does not know. So he abdicates. So she rules by default. Don't blame the wife. Don't blame the woman. You should be taking your place. Are we going to say no? No matter what. You see, this is a real problem today of who leads in the family. So the family is affected. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you're male, you're man, therefore you lead correctly. And I'm not saying that. Okay, it does not say, does not mean that, okay, straight away you know what to do. That's not what it means. But the discernment was not there. The knowledge was not there. The deception was not detected. It was just not there. That's something that you need to overcome very, very much. Or any questions you want to raise up? You can just simply say, in my friend, you know, only this Ben mentioned, that's fine. You see, my friend had this problem. Yes, Eugene. Yes. Yes, Eugene at the end. You want to learn to be wise, right? Yeah. Yes.
Pastor, I'm just wondering. God said that to the woman, your desire shall be for your husband.
Yes.
Is this desire something every woman has? Because I see outside...
You wish, huh? You wish.
Just wondering. Outside church, I see some women, seems like their desire is not really to...
Exactly. So you must choose very carefully.
Okay.
Yes. No, the whole idea here, you're right. See, the whole idea here was a simple... See, what was then and what is now are not the same. Okay? If her desire is for the man, she will desire, let me honor the man. Let me consult the man. Let me talk to the man. Let me be a help to the man. A desire would be here. But no, she's no such desire. You're right. I do my own stuff. I don't care. This would have been helpful if the desire is correct. But also, the response must be there. Right? Now this becomes, there is a contamination here. Okay? Now, this desire for the man, he should be, the response appropriate would be, okay, I appreciate your asking me. Thank you for this honor. I'm glad that you consult with me. I want to give you my wisdom. No, he doesn't do that. He rules over her. It's all your fault. Don't you ever forget it. Okay? It's all because of you. We were driven out of this house and home. You'll never forget it the rest of your life. He rules, as in he's made himself king. It's not the idea. The two shall be one. Two shall be one means nicely symmetrical. Not one head, one low, and a groveling at his feet kind of a thing here. You see, the things have changed. This was the escape. You see, this was what God was trying to teach her. Have some honor, have some affection, have some regard for the husband, please. It was meant to be. Right? The two shall be one. She wanted one. Not two shall be one. Just one. So what happened? It didn't happen. So that's where the problems came in. Can you see this? So he will now rule over her not in a nice way, rule over her. See, when God designed it, the two shall be one. He began with, you are born of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The right hand does not rule left hand. They go together. The left hand does not rule right hand. They go together. No part of the body rules anything. It's meant to be in total harmony. Now, no harmony rule. And it has always been. It's a question of ruling now, all the time. Okay? And there are all kinds of rules in every family. What are the rules? Who is going to rule? This happens. Unfortunately. Were they really listening to God? Answer, no. He said, for this reason, a man and woman, a man will leave his own father and mother and cleave to his wife. Such profound wisdom. He didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. And yet he could understand all these things here. Right? Now remember, this is Adam in his prime wisdom. And he gave all that up because he was not deceived. But he disobeyed anyway. Why did he do that? So now it's the other way around. Well, I listened to you, I got into trouble. From here onwards, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to rule you. It's not the answer, unfortunately. But it was. That's how it works with some people today. And this is a very, very sad situation. And there is no easy answer to any of these things. There's no answer to, you know, this is it. It doesn't work. So you say, okay, listen to the man. But the man is laid back. The man is lazy. The man doesn't want to work. So she has to work. See, that's not the answer either. That's how it works. Many years ago, I met some people in Sarawak. So I asked them, what is your idea of the man? I asked, what's the idea of a perfect wife? What do you think is the reply? Marry a rich wife. Then no need to work. What for want to work? See, that's his answer. I said, why? What about what the Bible says? See, do you know what? No. The way out, redemption is in hard work. Success is in hard work, not dependence upon. But that's how it is with many people. Look at the Hong Kong guy who wants to give how many millions away? 50 million? Something like that? To whoever can turn his daughter away to a straight life. Straight away, no end of offers. Yeah, I can do it. Oh, I really sincerely can care for the wife and I know I can turn her around. Really? Is it a woman or is it a 50 million? 50 million. 50 million spells a lot of effort. Sure. Come on. That's not the answer. But that's how it is in the world today. So be careful. Does it answer your question here? Okay, you're right. Does it necessarily mean the wife's desire would... No. Some men are not desirable anyway. I mean, let's face it, there are lots of complications. Some men are just plainly not desirable. I mean, this is a sad reality. Okay, last year, this about November time, we were in India and there was a young lady who got married, very sadly. And one of the things that I noted as I asked the man and I said, you're not happy? This is supposed to be your wedding day. Well, his face was really, really grumpy like anything. Less than 1 year later, they already separated. You know, he was a bodybuilder. To him, the most beautiful body is here, the biceps and the triceps and all the other steps. He said to the wife, don't expect me to give you a child. I cannot spoil my energy. I want to be Mr. Chennai. I want to be Mr. He devoted all his attention to oiling his body, and it was there. I'm serious. It's a really sad thing. Can a man be caught up with himself? Unfortunately, yes. You think this is the case? There was another one I was very, very concerned about. She got married to this man, and this man didn't please her. What did she do? She called her brothers, who called her friends, came to the house, assaulted the husband, warned him, you better listen to your wife if you know what's good for you. What did he decide what was good for him? He ran away. And they lived happily ever after. I mean, we are looking at a very real situation. And now, along the way, the wife did not realize that she was pregnant and gave birth to a son. But the father cannot be found anymore. Can it happen? Sadly, yes. I know both these stories. I know the people involved personally. I'm not telling you a story. You see? Complications. All kinds of complications. So we always tell Titus, you be careful. And he, so we often offer all kinds of scenarios for him. Supposing this is a beautiful girl of the, you know, a very high ranking priest, and then offers you her weight in gold, what would you ask for? What would you say? And he says, Pastor, no, no. So we continue to guide him, help him, encourage him. Hopefully, it will be, he will continue to say no, and then say yes later on to the right person. But in India, he's considered old already. Not yet past prime, but must get married soon. And then we all will be praying and worried what kind of wife he will have. Because all you need is one person called wife. I do not like Pastor Charlie, you know? So now he will have to choose whether he will continue to serve or he will obey the wife. Now we've seen people who will obey the wife because the wife is the one who makes the chapati. She's the one who makes the curry. I only go and see them 2-3 times a year. But he has to see her every day. So, there we go. It is the unreal challenges. He knows it. These are very real situations. So, Eugene, it's a real challenge. So we all have to pray very much for Titus as he returns next year. And then we all will be holding our breath. What kind of wife he would have. We've lost many, many potential pastors because of wives, you know, in India. Seriously, very hard to find a good wife. All right, over to you for questions. Anything else? Yes, another Eugene, yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, Pastor. Pastor, I wanted to ask you on to explain on the idea of the wisdom which Adam had before he attained the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like there isn't much of a difference. At least I can't understand it.
Okay. His wisdom, right?
Fair.
I tell you, he's very wise. He really was wise. Except on the eve of his marriage. I mean, you look at the wisdom. Look at the wisdom that he has. Okay, let's take a look in chapter 2. Okay? In chapter 2, and the Lord tells him, and he says, I will make a helper comparable to him. That was what a wife is meant to be. A wife is meant to be a helper comparable. Okay? It's not meant to be inferior stuff. Never meant to be comparable. Then we read, out of the ground the Lord made form every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And so he saw, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. This one looks like horse. Horse. Actually, it's not. It's cat. Then you have a problem. He knew instinctively what each one should be, how it was meant to be used. So he has his knowledge is amazing. Whether it is, you know, with all the animals and other things. He knew how to till the ground. He knows how to look after the garden. He knows the fruit trees. He knows what it is. I don't know whether you've heard of a man called John Chapman. John Chapman is in Indiana, all over the place. Chapman everywhere. Chapman Lake, one after the other. All the time. So many lakes are named after him. But he's not as famous here as he's known as sometimes Johnny Appleseed. This was a person whose knowledge of really, in the early days, in order to attract visitors and attract people to go and conquer the Wild West, as they call it, in the early days, the government would offer, if you can plant apple trees or, you know, citrus fruit, whatever, the government will give to you 100 acres at a time for a song. This was a man who planted orchard after orchard after orchard after orchard was there. Okay? Now, there was another lady. Her name is called Mrs. Isaac Staden. And she claimed, he says, you are not the first person to plant this tree. I am. Proud, arrogant, uppity. But she had to admit, very few people know how to plant those apple trees and make them blossom, grow, as well as this man called John Chapman. It takes skill. Eugene, I mean, if you were to be given a tree today, you know how to look after a tree? Exactly. You know, seriously, do you know how to put, you good at animal husbandry? We, none of us know. Right? We really don't know how to do any of these things here. But here was the person. Hard working. You got to work from morning to night. And didn't mind it. Looking after the animals, looking after the farm, looking after an orchard, looking after the garden. And God felt so sorry for him, you don't have anybody to come home to. That was Adam. You know, his soul took one look at Eve, and straight away he knew, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Okay? The Hebrew word for is this word here for a man, ish. Okay, if you want to dot it like that. But it would be isha. This is the word. Comparable. A woman is exactly like a man. Comparable. Not inferior at any point of time. She was meant to be helper, comparable to him. Not more stupid, nothing. It's comparable in every sense of the word. So for now, for the man to rule over is already no longer original. Unless, unfortunately, the woman has to be ruled, otherwise she won't listen. Unfortunately. Leash. Wish is not the case. It's not meant to be like that. So there is your wisdom of men. And then, because she gave to me, I ate. But that's where the problem is. You cannot blame anybody. You cannot, if you put on weight, you know, a lot of men, are, before they're married, they're quite slim. Then after they're married, they're gone. That's why the old statement, when a man is not married, he's incomplete. After he's married, he's finished. You cannot blame. You can only blame yourself. You can always say no. Thank you, no. You can add, no thank you, dear, but no, dear. You can emphasize the dear there. The problem is that so many people are foolish dear. No idea. Really? That's what Jacob said about Naphtali. He is like a deer loose. It was Moses who prayed differently. He says, this is not true. Unfortunately. So the wisdom was there. It was intrinsic. It was inherent. But it was not applied as it should be. So a lot of men are reduced to going out the world, go, come home, eat, watch TV, become a couch potato. And they call it happiness. That's gross. That's it. And come on, we don't work so hard. I just want to just relax. Why? Is that a picture of an idyllic married life? I shudder. There is so much to learn about each other. There's so much weaknesses to fight and overcome. There's so much strength to develop. There's so much of God's Word to master. There's so much to learn. Just quietly go out there, gaze at each other's eyes, gone with the wind. I can't figure this out. And it has always been the case, all these years. Millennia has not changed anything very much, unfortunately. Hey, I'm not disparaging relationships, far from it. But I'm saying you could have worked very, very, very hard to make any relationship work. It does not come with it. This is a certificate. Now everything is okay. You come to church, God has blessed you, it's okay now. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not true. Okay? Now I hope this is not going to scare you, those of you who are not yet married. But neither am I going to tell you, go in, it's okay, don't worry. We'll be there, all the guys will be there to support you. Yeah. The moment a wife says, I don't like it, finish, gone friends. No more friends. That's how scary it can get. Unfortunately. And who are the friends? Only whatever the wife determines are friends. Don't like this one. No, gone. Sorry, my wife doesn't want to invite you. Finish. And so many men end up with nothing. Or internally, they're angry, resentment builds up, and they go out. And they don't care either. So it's all kinds of variations. please learn from all these things. Remember, they are terrible, severe consequences. And it affects the family. It affects the children, worst of all. It affects other people as well. It doesn't stop. It gets serious. Okay? So you better know what you're up against. Okay? So don't be afraid of telling the person, you know, I really don't like your attitude. Oh, you don't like? Okay, I go. Fine, go. Bye. Don't forget to close the door. Oh, I miss you. I am sorry. And all the same stupid thing is repeated again and again and again. Sorry, that's how it works in life. Please, I urge you. Satan will attack your relationship, your family. If you think that it's not going to happen, you are mistaken. Right in the first family, in the first few chapters, the first chapter that talks about human relationship, the serpent of old is there. And he will attack you. And he will destroy you. And a lot of people are just not aware of this reality. Wake up. Please. Okay? Or we will all fall. What's the answer? Don't get married. It's not the answer. Get married. Not the answer. Get married and then try and doesn't work. Try it again. It's not the answer. You see, that inclusion of God is vital. That knowledge of God is vital. The cultivation of a relationship, actively working on these things, vital. And if we don't work on any of these things here, and we're sunk. And when people go out to talk together, they always think, what shall we eat? What shall we eat next time we go out? It's all about food. Genesis 3 warns us about the food problem. And we still have the same problem. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Why can't we go beyond that? Why can't we do that? Okay? So now we've got to have war in the heavenlies. Now we've got war in a family. Does it stop there? No, it doesn't. Okay, we're going to take a bit of, unfortunately, food. But okay, any questions you want to ask before we take a break? Because it gets more and more complex along the way. Please, the scriptures are not going to tell us repeat story after story after story and problems like that. You know, what's one story covers all the angles. Okay? Anybody want to raise any before we take a break? No? Okay, and I'm going to suggest to you men, all who you men, you please learn to a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more discernment, a little bit more strength. Okay? What is right, stay. What is wrong, no. And women, you please learn. Know your strength. Learn how to consult a little bit more. Learn to learn. Oh, it is so hard. Okay? So to the unmarried, please grow in wisdom. And the married, even more so. Okay? And it goes on. And the children, and so on and so forth. It's lots and lots and lots of things to learn. It's not going to be easy. even when they are very, very little. They can start very young. Okay? So you got to watch them all the time. All right, let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will help us to take notes of how the evil one can and will attack. And so this morning we learn how to pray for our families. Father, teach us how to guard our families very carefully, to guard our children, to guard even our grandchildren. Father, we pray that you will grant us wisdom and grace, discernment, as to how to help a family that is already greatly troubled. We pray that you would grant to us that measure of grace and mercy to know how to cope. Pray that you would bless and strengthen us. In Jesus' name. Amen.